Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. What a treat to spend a few moments with you. Today the topic is surrender. And in many ways, the topic is always surrender. If there is a common theme to my life and the lessons that I need to relearn on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis, I think surrender is probably up there at the top. This week, the inspiration for the relearning of surrender was focused around First Saturdays. So this weekend, we did our Help the Homeless outreach with First Saturdays. And I was, as always, super excited. It is the best recalibrator of mindset, of gratitude, of purpose that I have in my life. Just taking a few hours a month to be of service in such a pure way. You know, the world is very complicated, and the issues and politics and even the intricacies of the overall homelessness issue within our culture is complicated. However, kindness is simple. Kindness is true and right, and there is no conflict about, am I doing the right thing, when you are being kind, when you are being of service, when you are working to lift someone else up in the world. So First Saturdays is always a benefit, a boost, a wonderful experience. And yet there are also aspects of it that I find stressful and difficult, especially in a planning perspective, in a way that in a management and trying to make sure that the volunteers are having a good experience, because I see it way more than a service for the needy. I see it as an experience that we all engage in. It is a connection experiment. It is a connection exercise for volunteers, for those that we are of service to, and it is also a reminder and an educational experience for those of us who are volunteering to remind us of who we are as helpers, who we are in relation to others, and how much joy can be personally created, received, when you create joy and give light to others. And I think that is the overall, to me, you know, First Saturdays is many things to many people, and that's, we try to let it be that. But to me, the practice of kindness to others as an experience of bringing personal joy is, that's the big one. So this weekend at First Saturdays, there was forecast for rain in the evening on Saturday. And so people were saying, well, are we going to still go out if it rains? And I'm like, we try to always go out, and even if we have to adjust what we do. But this isn't going to be a problem because there's going to be no rain until the evening. And honestly, I was getting a little cocky because we have been blessed. Over 7 years, we've only had two times when rain affected how we had to do things. And so we all showed up at the park. We organized donations. We organized everything. And right when we finished bagging up all the clothes, it started to sprinkle. And we gathered into a circle, as we always do, to kind of get all on the same kind of intention. And I try to remind people some of the things that I was just saying. Remind people that we're here to be connecting with people. And everything that we have, the food and the clothing and the care packs, are all a prop that we use to try to facilitate and create an interaction with somebody that's outside of our normal patterns in our normal social circle. And then we go around the circle and I try to have some fun and make sure that this experience is joyful, because service doesn't have to be a sacrifice. That's the whole, you know, driving force of First Saturdays. It is a uplifting and regenerating and inspiring experience. Even though it could have elements of it that traditionally, in terms of like interacting with someone who is in a dark place, could be pulling you down, but we try to make sure that it's a place that brings you up. Anyway, so we get in our circle and it starts to drizzle and then it starts to pour. And so I'm looking around the circle of people and there's all these volunteers with just like water dripping off their nose, and I just suddenly became really distracted and really overwhelmed. And I really started to feel badly. Because here's all these people that had showed up to be good and do good. And partially be, you know, expecting a positive, uplifting experience, and now they're getting soaked and they're getting cold, and so much of our traditional plan, I had to kind of be like, well, we might have to adjust that. We might not be able to do that. We're gonna have to make a judgment call. We may have to, I even use the term, we're gonna have to call an audible, which actually I started saying that and then I couldn't remember what you call it. I think it's a sports term that means after you hike the ball, you change or you decide in the moment what you're gonna do. And that's what we had to do in the rain. And so I was all like, we didn't do some things in the circle. We didn't go around the circle and say our names. I didn't say the same, as many jokes as I normally do. I was trying to rush through it to get people out of the rain. And I was just feeling like, this isn't going like I wanted it to. And then we get to the park and now it's still raining. And so I make the judgment call. We're not going to put out clothes. We're only going to give away care packs and food. And I didn't feel good about it because for a number of reasons, you know, everyone, they bring these donations and they want to give them away. But the problem is if we put out clothes and they get wet, they very quickly become worthless. Nobody who's on the street wants a wet jacket. And if we have tons of wet clothes, nobody wants them, then we have to like bag them back up. Now we've got bags and bags and bags of wet clothes. And we actually had an experience a couple of years ago where we didn't deal with the wet clothes quick enough and they molded and we had to throw away just all this good stuff. And so this wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And then I had to make another judgment call and it was even worse than I wanted it to be. And I just was like, and I was feeling badly because the way I didn't give the volunteers what I wanted to. And then I felt badly that we didn't give the homeless what I wanted them to. And then a kid showed up who he did a flyer. He'd been doing a clothing drive at his school and he showed up a little bit late and he was trotting over to our area with all his bags. And I was like, I'm sorry, we're not going to give away clothes this month. And his first look on his face was like, and I was like, but this way, when we give them out next month, it'll be so much more valuable, people. And his dad runs up and he goes, hey, now we can even get more clothes. And he kind of turned it around and he was excited. But I was just like, man, it's not going the way I want. It's not going the way I want. And then I went out to kind of, in this like really defeated, deflated way, to go kind of apologize to all the homeless that had lined up for stuff. And I'm like, you know what? As just I'm about to start apologizing, like three people are like, I can't believe you're here. I was telling them, I'm like, there's no way they're gonna come. It's raining. There's no way. Oh man, it's so great that you guys came out. This is, oh wow, you guys have such big hearts. Man, thank you so much for coming out. And I was like, you're welcome. And here I was, all caught up in my story of the way it was supposed to be, so attached to the way that I thought it should be, that I could only see criticisms with the way it was. I could only see problems with the way it was. And yet, the minute I let it happen, everything was fine. True, it wasn't the way we planned it. But everyone was there was not just happy to get what we did have to give, but touched that we had come out in the rain even though we didn't have to. So this thing that I thought was a sacrifice or a compromise ended up being an inflated act of service to a number of the people that were there. And, you know, I kind of realized everyone is there not because they're attached to the way we do it. They're out there just to help and be kind and be nice. And if I make the judgment call that we're not going to give away clothes, nobody was like, oh, man. Everyone was like, okay. Like, you're in charge. Make that call. And it was, it was only with distance that I was able to kind of like let myself see it and go, oh, right. If I just surrender, if I just let things happen, it all works out. And over and over and over, this lesson keeps happening. There's, I've shared many times stories that happen at Burning Man of times when our you know, camps have been destroyed or things have been built in ways that we didn't intend them to. And every time it works out, you know, there's this like core lesson of Burning Man, of surrender, of like letting go of the way that you think things should be so that you can appreciate the perfection of the way things are. And it is only in that surrender, only when you let go of steering down the path that doesn't want you there, that you can get into this cosmic groove towards the benefits and the gifts and the magic that is on the path, that is revealed in a way according to a wisdom beyond the should path that you have. You know, the Byron Katie's book, Loving What is kind of the advanced, profound practice of letting go of your thoughts and doing inquiry on the thoughts of the way you think things should be, so that you can celebrate and embrace the incredible gifts of what is. And that can be really upsetting to people, especially if what is contained in a story that we have, you know, rich judgments around. But unless we do inquiry on those thoughts, we doom ourselves to suffering. Byron Katie likes to say that, you know, if you argue with reality, you'll lose, but only 100% of the time. We had a Pink Heart meeting this weekend, and Pink Heart, my Burning Man camp, and, you know, Burning Man conversations. After the meeting, we have a brunch, and then during brunch, we talk about things that we're building for this year and reminiscing about stories of last year, and sometimes people will come in from out of town, and we learn what they're doing, and so we had a bunch of people in town that are part of the Headspace of Mutant Vehicle that is kind of a spin-off of Pink Heart, and, you know, Headspace, like many mutant vehicles, has had all sorts of challenges, deep challenges, profound challenges, expensive challenges, and every time they have to kind of go through that process of letting go of the way that they wanted it to be and surrendering the plan that they had and surrendering to the way it is and making a new plan or finding new resources or letting go of a vision of the way it was supposed to be. And, you know, I told Mark, the captain of Headspace, I was like, you know, just from so that you can get a perspective outside your own, last year the Headspace vehicle had some issue with its radiator or some, I don't know much about cars, but it broke down or it was stuck right in front of Pink Heart on the across the Esplanade in the open ply, and it was there for a number of days. And I told him, I'm like, I'm guessing that your story about that was this was a travesty and this was not the way it was supposed to be, and you know, you were like wishing it was so much different than the way it was. But for me, I've never been so excited about something that was stuck. Every day, every night, there was a dance party right in front of Pink Heart. And it was an experience like I've never had before. And I had joyful dancing adventures without some of the difficulties I have in heading out into the open playa. And none of these magical experiences that I had could have happened unless things didn't go the way they were supposed to go. And so I was like, you know, just as another perspective, this surrender can lead to the greatest gifts when you can let go of that strict definition of the way it's supposed to be. And as we were hanging out at this brunch, just story after story after story that people were sharing about these horrific storms at different festivals, whether it was Leyenda or Lucidity or the Boogaloo, and all of these experiences that were wrecked, quote unquote, by nature, but ended up creating an adverse landscape that provided an adventure that no one would have chosen, but once it was happening, it was a gift and it was a treasure. And that's one of those things that sometimes takes time and takes a little bit of distance to realize, that so often the things that seem to be challenging, frustrating, difficult, the missteps of your plan that you would never choose. But with distance, you can go, oh my gosh, that was exactly what I needed. I would never take on a challenge like that. I would never intentionally endure a hardship like that. But it was that hardship that knocked loose maybe a pattern or a belief or a relationship or a job that was holding me back. And the more times that we have those experiences, the more times that the universe forces us to learn a lesson of surrender, the more easily we can let go of our expectations when those moments arise. Now, was I able to this weekend let go immediately of the way that I wanted for Saturdays to go? No. But I didn't stew on it all weekend. I didn't regret it for hours. I was able to go back to this frequent lesson of surrender and go, oh, right. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. It went the way it was supposed to go. And then able to see the gifts that I wasn't looking for, the gifts that I wasn't planning for, that I wasn't trying to make happen, but that did happen when I surrendered control to a force that is bigger than me. And that's the whole, you know, the underlying theme of float more, steer less, is that if you are too attached to the way that you're trying to steer your path, you can end up fighting the tide. You can end up, you know, trying to smash through walls. You can end up going and working against the flow, against the kind of innate gifts that are being brought to you by the cosmic stream, because you are so attached to the way you think it's supposed to go that anything outside of that seems wrong. But again, more and more and more, the more times that you get that smacked in the face with the lesson of surrender, the easier it is to let go of the steering wheel until the wind catches your sails and then go, okay, I'm going to go with this. So steering less doesn't mean doing nothing. Floating more doesn't mean doing nothing. It means being less attached to your rigid definition of should and being more willing to work with the wind, more willing to work with the flow, more willing to acknowledge that there may be a wisdom at work beyond the decisions of your conscious mind, which is so influenced by your scripts and your socialization and your previous experiences that, quite frankly, are massively limited from a cosmic perspective. So, surrender! Surrender! May you surrender. And from that perspective, when you get bad news, when your plans don't work out, when you get rained out, may you embrace that and may you find the ability to quickly let go of your expectations so that the unnecessary suffering is dissipated quickly as you surrender to what is. Yay for what is! Yay for being here right now. Thank you for letting me surrender to this rambling moment. It is a gift to share this moment with you. I love you. If you ever have feedback about this podcast, even like volume levels or suggestions or things, man, I have a podcast I love and, you know, you should do what they do. Give me some help. I'm having a blast, but would love to make this better and more enjoyable for you, for me, for everyone. Welcome to Hug Nation.